Hello, I work in the topic XYZ. There are some new findings that I would like to incorporate into standardization. What do I need to do?
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
Welcome back to our little series, Human Beings Are Not Ants, what you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. My name is Amelie and I'm happy that you've joined me here again today. We've already talked about how standardization is the process of how the contents of standards are developed. The DIN ensures throughout the development of a standard that it is democratically legitimate and complies with antitrust legislation. And that one method of ensuring that this is the case is the composition of the experts on the standards committees. Today we will talk about what this means in concrete terms. Who are the people who sit in standards committees and develop these documents? These people referred to as experts by Dean. Would you also be able to get involved? And do you need a doctor title or something like that? Yes, you can participate, and no, you do not need a special title. Okay, that's simple enough, but how does it work? Well, you can always give us a call here at DIN. We are just people too, you know. You can talk to us. If you want to be prepared to make such a call, this is what to do. Take a look at the list of DIN standards committees on our website. The list is sorted both alphabetically and by topic. We've put both links in the episode notes. You can imagine the standards committees being organized like a chest of drawers. On each drawer, there's a broad topic labeled, such as building and civil engineering, water management, materials testing, services, and so on. Once you've found your particular topic and open up the drawer, there you find a kind of a SOC sorting system. These are the national committees. This is an important tip for using our website because it's very diverse and represents the whole broad spectrum of standardization, so to speak. If you've gone to your standards committee, you have to click on the national committees there. This is one of the tabs in the lower toolbar. Here, you can search for your own specific topic of interest in a working body. And for every working body, there's a contact person. You can give this person a call or send them an email. Basically, something like this. Hello, I work in the topic XYZ. There are some new findings that I would like to incorporate into standardization. What do I need to do? You would then be invited to the next meeting where you would get to know the committee and they would also get to know you. Then you decide whether or not you want to exercise your democratic option to participate at the technical level in your area. In some rare cases, it can be a bit more difficult. For example, if 20 people from research are already sitting on the committee and you are also from research, then the others might say, well, we already have that perspective covered. What we need is someone from the manufacturing side, for example. But that you can work out together with the dean colleagues. You should definitely reach out to them. So, what kind of qualifications do I need to participate in such a committee? Who has to confirm that I can do what I say I can do? Well, somebody has to send you. In other words, I can't just become an expert in a standards committee because I think I'm so incredibly clever. But rather, my employer has to send me, my company, my research institute, or my non-profit sustainability association where I work, or something like that. This means your expertise has to have a professional context. I can't just get involved because I'm bored at the moment. Yet at the same time, it doesn't mean that you have to have at least 3 doctor titles or whatever. To be sent is, in fact, a type of, qualification. Keep in mind that standards are not an end in themselves. You don't write standards because you want to become a celebrated author or something. Standards are also not like a wish list to Santa Claus that you simply throw into the room at hope. No matter how unrealistic it is, now that it's a standard, people will go along with it. Standards are tools in text form, written by people who need them to work, for people who need them to work. So, through the composition of the standards committees, Dean ensures that our high standards are maintained, that the standards are democratically legitimate and in compliance with antitrust legislation. The idea is that by really taking into account all points of view on a matter, there won't be an unfair bias in the document, which could arise, for example, if only the manufacturers were to sit down together. This could present a risk that requirements that would cause costs for manufacturers would perhaps not be taken into account to a sufficient degree. For example, environmental protection or consumer protection. That is why it's so important and so valuable that this rule exists for the composition of the standards committees, and that all those involved in a topic keep an eye on each other. Let me repeat, we want to have these many different perspectives involved. Yes, it takes some more time. But that is exactly what makes Dean standards different from, for example, association standards. Usually only association members can be involved in developing association standards. What makes Dean standards unique is that the circle of participating experts is open. And, very importantly, standards are consensus documents. Only when all those involved say, okay, I can live with that, will the standard be adopted. And yes, this can take a while. It's not like what we might know from elsewhere, where at some point someone bangs on the table and says, so enough with the discussions, this is how we're doing it. Although many may believe that is Dean's role, that is simply not the case. We are not some type of overarching authority on content. Actually, we are not the content at all, but the process. This includes the fact that the experts in the committees can discuss until everything has been said. Maybe you've noticed, as an expert in a standards committee, you have a completely different responsibility in addition to the content. Namely, the responsibility to facilitate consensus being reached. You have to accept that maybe others are right and that you can still move forward together. These discussions, how people struggle together to achieve a result that makes everyone happy, this is truly a fascinating process. I continue to be impressed by how much passion the experts put into their work to achieve the best results. We are hardly used to this in our society. It's unbelievably rare. And that's why it's so worthwhile to really get to know the world of technical regulation, you know, as a completely different system of how the idea of democracy can be shaped. So there it is. The composition of experts in the standards committees is one of the special features of Dean standards. And there's another one, the process. The process of who must be allowed to say what about such a standard and when. How this is to be taken into account and how it is to be dealt with if reaching an agreement becomes difficult. This is all quite exciting, and all of you have the opportunity to jump in and get involved. I will explain all of this in detail next time. Until then, I look forward to having you here and stay curious.